presented by DogNation.com. This is Dog Nation Daily, the daily podcast for Georgia Bulldogs fans. Here's your host, Brandon Adams.
The preseason Associated Press poll comes out today at noon. Of course, I say today, speaking on a Monday for those of you watching live. Georgia, I'm guessing, is probably going to be in the exact same spot it was when the coaches poll came out not too long ago at number three. For the most part, all of the preseason polls thus far, I mean, the official one we do have, the unofficial ones that fill up the magazines and all the web profiles and things along those lines, they've pretty much all had Georgia at number three. My guess is that the Associated Press will be very much the same way. And really, a lot of these prognosticators and opinion folks who kind of put it out there with Georgia number three, a lot of them also include Georgia in the college football playoff. You may have seen this yourself. We've even had guests on our program who have had Georgia ranked in the top four to start the season, and the assumption being that it makes the college football playoff there that way. But, and you've heard me say this before, those of you who listen or watch on a regular basis, pretty much all the really positive preseason predictions involving Georgia all seem to have pretty much one thing in common, and this has now been true for two consecutive years. Go back last year prior to the 2018 season in the early stages of forming opinions before the start of the 2019 season. The folks that put Georgia in the playoff usually put the Dogs in as a second SEC team with the presumption, I'm guessing, that Alabama will win the SEC and be the SEC's lead representative. And if there's room for a second SEC playoff team after that, then that's kind of where Georgia fits into all this. And you don't have to look very far to find examples of this. There is a lot of this on the internet. However, as we get closer to the start of this season, we may be starting to finally see some examples of some folks who are willing to put themselves out there on a little bit more of a perch than that. Not only to just say, well, Georgia is clearly on paper one of the four best teams in the country to start the preseason. A few folks are even pushing a little farther than that, saying despite the fact that Georgia has lost to Alabama in each of its last two meetings, the two big high-profile games in 2017 and 2018, some growing sentiment, or at least the appearances of some sentiment, that may be the better overall way to say this, the appearances of some sentiment that maybe Georgia is actually not just one of the four best, maybe Georgia is the very best, including being better than its number one nemesis, its arch foe from the last couple of years, Alabama. Let me give you an example of this. If you are a regular to the ESPN content, you may be familiar with the Bear, Chris Felica. You see him on ESPN's College Game Day. He's the guy that sits off to the side. They kind of go to him a couple times during the show, and he makes his picks. He kind of does it in sort of a low-tech way. He sort of slaps his Bear logo on one side or the other of about three or four games. And throughout the week on ESPN, he also writes a little bit, appears on some radio shows, some TV stuff of his own, and he does a podcast with a guy named Stanford Steve, who's also kind of in that same mix. These aren't necessarily the headline players at ESPN, but actually when it comes to college football, I enjoy their takes almost as much as some of the guys who are a little more famous, Felica in particular. I just think he's got kind of a nice numerical insight into what's going to happen for a lot of these games, and given the fact that I like him, I also like the fact that Felica apparently has a pretty strong pick for the national championship. Let me let you hear about a minute's worth of their podcast where they get into a comparison of Georgia versus Alabama, and listen to the prediction from Felica coming at the end of this. This from the Bear and Stanford Steve, a part of ESPN.
If Bama played Georgia week one in Atlanta, what's the line? Say it's Bama minus three. Who are you picking?
Georgia.
Me too.
I think Georgia wins the national championship this year.
You do?
I do.
That's what I wanted to get to. I love it.
It reminds me of
the old Saban
2009 Alabama. They couldn't beat Urban and Tebow, and finally came back and they did, and they broke through, and it just sent them on their way. Now, we talked about Ohio State not having a backup. Same thing said goes with Georgia. If Fromm were to get hurt, then all bets are off, but you can't handicap injuries.
No.
Offensive line is arguably the best in the country. You're loaded at backfield with Swift, who I know you like as a Heisman candidate. Demetrius Robertson is going to have an unbelievable year.
Yeah, this whole thing about they don't have anyone.
They got plenty of guys who can play. And they have a couple of kids on the defensive line who I think they finally think can break through and be a pass rusher as well.
So once again, that's the Bear, Chris Felica from ESPN, picking Georgia to win the national championship. Now, there are two schools of thought on this, and there are a number of you. I'm sure if I were to check the video comments right now, a few of you have probably already said this. There is a school of thought among some Georgia fans of they don't want to hear that stuff. They don't want to hear anybody at ESPN predicting Georgia win the national championship because that is, as Nick Saban has once said, and Kirby Smart seemingly also believes, that's rat poison. It's better to have nobody believe in you than have somebody, even if it's a relatively sort of middling in terms of fame, ESPN personality making the pick for the national championship. There are some Georgia fans who don't even want that. And I kind of get where that comes from. I love the idea of the team itself, the coaches, the players. I love the idea of them thinking that no one believes in them. I think there is some fuel that can be gained from that. However, I do have to admit, as someone who's both a fan of college football, a follower of Georgia, and a person that works in the media talking about Georgia each and every day, there does come a point where if everybody in the country thinks the same thing, Georgia's good, better than almost everybody, but not quite as good as Alabama, not quite as good as Clemson. If everybody in the national media thinks that, then there is a moment where you start to wonder, wait a second, are we just too close to this here within inside the bubble of Dog Nation? Do we just have a tendency to see too much through the red and black glasses? Is Georgia really as close to being on the doorstep of a national championship as some of the people that we talk to every day might think? So there is a moment in which I have to admit, even though this could technically be almost rat poison for the team itself, there is a part of me that still kind of enjoys hearing the occasional media guy go out there and put himself on the record, say Georgia to win the national championship, because it does, I think, validate some of the preseason conversation that we've all been a part of going back the last couple of months. Let me let you hear one more thing as well from the Bear and Stanford Steve, because the other guy here, Steve, and honestly, I don't know what his last name is. I just always call him Stanford Steve. I think it's Coughlin, something like that, maybe. But anyway, he went on to also make a point about Georgia, potentially also vouching for them as a national championship. And his argument in favor of Georgia is actually a little bit different one than I've heard other places. That's the reason why I'm going to play this clip for you, kind of a unique look on what Dan Lanning and James Coley might mean for the Bulldogs. Here is another from the ESPN podcast.
They do have to replace two coordinators. I think it's good because I'm not saying it's stale at all. Kirby's whole saying all offseason has been do more. This is why I like the idea of both new coordinators. I think it brings a fresh mindset and philosophy.
I like that. I like that.
So I'm with you on Georgia. I like them a lot.
So here's where the national media, I think, can kind of get it wrong, is that, Georgia is going Dan Lanning as its defensive coordinator now because Mel Tucker gets a head coaching job. Georgia's going with James Coley as its offensive coordinator now because Jim Chaney's on his way to Tennessee. Georgia coming up close the last couple of years but finishing short, there is a national media narrative that might emerge for some teams in that spot where you say, it must be getting stale. That message must be wearing thin. Anytime you come close but have no cigar 2 years in a row, there must be something wrong with the message. Honestly, that's not what Kirby Smart believes, I think. I think it's one of the reasons why he promoted Lanning instead of hiring somebody else. It's one of the reasons why he promoted Coley instead of hiring somebody else. I firmly believe that Kirby Smart thinks his message is working. And I think that the close games he's played with Alabama the last couple of years are not an indictment for what's wrong with Georgia, but evidence of what's right. And that you keep playing these same games, you keep playing this same opponent over and over again, I think Kirby Smart firmly believes this is going to work out in his favor eventually. Is it like 2009 where Alabama got over the hump with Florida? It might turn out to be, but it also doesn't have to be a carbon copy of that to work out well for Georgia this season. One more clip here from a personality you may have heard of talking up Georgia, Phil Steele, the college football analyst who writes the magazine that's been kind of famous for a long time. He was on the SEC Network's radio network on the Sirius XM, and he made a very simple point about Georgia that I think is apparent to all of us, but maybe not quite so obvious to the people who don't live and breathe and follow UGA every day. Here's Phil Steele.
You know, it's a Georgia team that, I think it's the best team that they've put on the field under Kirby Smart so far. They've got six returning starters on offense, six on defense, an improved team over last year.
Let me make a very simple point for a moment. The fact that that even needs to be said to a national audience, I think goes to show you just how much in-depth, plugged-in college football fans, various members of the national media, it just goes to show you how much maybe they don't know about what Georgia brings to the table. Because I think for Georgia fans, it is obvious that the 2019 team is on paper not just better than the 2018 team, but even deeper than the 2017 team that went to the college football playoff. This is, I think, without any kind of qualification, the best roster that Georgia has ever had. And it's 100-something year history of college football. That's no guarantee that it works out at the tune of a national championship. But maybe there are a lot of folks who don't realize just quite how talented this team is. In comparison to Alabama, the team that's beaten the last couple of years, and Clemson, the team that's won national championships, while Georgia's been trying to build this thing up. I would love to be able to tell you, I've seen the future, I know how this is going to conclude, that Georgia's indeed going to win the national championship this season. Obviously, none of us can know that. Here's what I do know, though. For many people in the media, for many fans around the country, I don't think they know how close Georgia really is. Apparently, there are a couple of guys at ESPN that have figured that out. Apparently, a few folks are crunching the numbers and starting to see some signs, starting to see some evidence. And maybe starting August 31st, this Georgia team will prove those guys right when it's all said and done. My name is Brandon Adams, and this is Dog Nation Daily, the daily podcast for Georgia Bulldogs fans. Hello to you, and thanks for being with us live on video, 10 a.m., Dog Nation Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, radio at noon on Athens Sports Radio 960 The Rev, and as a podcast, wherever you find them, including the world-famous DogNation.com. Glad to have you with us today. Cannot wait to have you with us as well this Thursday. Coming up this week, August 22nd, at the Kroger Marketplace right there on Bethel View Road in Cumming. It's 5550 Bethel View Road in Cumming for our Kroger kickoff to start the season. Everyone who comes is going to get one of these Dog Nation t-shirts. Now, if you're radio podcast, I realize you can't see this, but nonetheless, we're going to give these away. A nice, cool gray, a lightweight Dog Nation t-shirt, Dog Nation logo on the front. This is a gift for everyone who comes by to see us this Thursday. Can't wait to have you there. It's 6 to 8 p.m. As I said before, the address, 5550 Bethel View Road in Cumming. The entire Dog Nation team talking about what's on the line for Georgia this season and why this year the Dogs may indeed do more for the upcoming year. Can't wait to talk to you about that at our Kroger kickoff coming up this Thursday, 5550 Bethel View Road in Cumming. It all starts at 6 p.m. All right, in a couple of minutes, I'm going to get our buddy John Stinchcomb, the great former Georgia Bulldog. We're going to talk to him about everything that's been going on around the UGA program, including the big news from over the weekend that Georgia gets a commit from another elite offensive lineman, Cedric Von Prawn, out of New Orleans. I think this is a major recruiting win. We'll obviously deal with Van Prawn a bunch on today's show, starting with John Stinchcomb coming up in just a moment. Before that, though, there was another scrimmage on Saturday, and, you know, I wasn't there. I wasn't able to see it. You weren't either, presumably. And yet, if I could have written a script for what I would have liked to have heard Kirby Smart say when it was done, now Smart's not going to be overly effusive in his praise. He's still got a lot of things he's working on, still getting ready for the upcoming season. However, there were some things to like about what Kirby said on Saturday, about what he liked about his team from being on the field in another hot day inside Sanford Stadium. To start off with, the folks that I hope to see the best effort from on Saturday, apparently they gave something close to that during the action. Here is what Kirby Smart said as a way of recapping the full contact scrimmage that took place, a dress rehearsal of sorts for Vanderbilt inside Sanford Stadium.
Thought we had a much more spirited scrimmage. It was still hot out there, probably not as humid as it was last time. We didn't have the rain delay this time, but they started out a lot better, started out a lot faster, a lot more competitive. Thought both ones units played better, which meant the twos probably didn't play as well, but there were some explosive plays in the scrimmage, and I was proud of the competitive toughness.
So listen, I like all of that. Competitive toughness, that's exactly what Georgia needs as it gets ready to begin its season now, just a couple of weeks. But in particular, one of the things that we did talk about was the need for those, Kirby calls them the ones, the starters, the veterans, the guys that seem to have a starting spot locked down. Apparently they didn't get the best of the other guys going back a week ago. That changed a little bit on Saturday. I'm a big believer that the leadership for Georgia, the best players, the veteran players, the ones the kids all know, those are the ones who are going to take the Dogs towards a national championship. And that was great to see on Saturday. Apparently, them setting the tone for the scrimmage there as well. Also, later on today, show, I'm going to play a little bit more audio from Smart on this. You heard him talk about explosive plays. Apparently that was lacking a little bit last week with the exception of the big George Pickens catch. Maybe there was a little bit more of that on Saturday. In particular, a word Kirby Smart used that caught my attention. I'll give that to you a little bit later on. You love to see that. Really good stuff from the Georgia Bulldogs there. We'll continue throughout the week to talk about exactly what was seen and learned from that, including letting you hear from Kirby Smart on that as well. For now, though, before we move on, I mentioned the start of the upcoming season. You know, Georgia's going to be in Nashville to start the year. Home opener coming up on September 7th. That means Sanford Stadium's going to be packed here all throughout the fall. But before that happens, it's also going to be an opportunity for Georgia fans to pack SunTrust Park for the Atlanta Braves as well. When the Braves take on the Toronto Blue Jays, it's going to be UGA day there at Sanford Stadium. Champ Bailey's going to be there to throw out the first pitch. You've also got Mohamed Masquah, the great former Georgia wide receiver. He's going to be leading the chop that night. Each ticket package is going to come with an exclusive co-branded Braves and UGA hat. I've seen these before. I've actually got one of the co-branded t-shirts. It's all really, really cool stuff. So if you like the Braves, you like UGA, you'll love both those logos together on the same hat. There's going to be a donation made to alumni scholarships, and you can get tickets in the Terrace Reserve, the home run porch, or the grandstand infield sections. The first pitch is 1:20 p.m. there that day on Labor Day. So after a nice long weekend of watching the Dogs and watching college football, how about capping it off with the Braves and Blue Jays? Really fun stuff to go to. Make sure you check that out. Braves.com/UGA, the website. It's Braves.com/UGA. Atlanta Braves baseball, chop on. All right, we got a lot more to come, including letting you hear from Kirby Smart. I'll share some more thoughts on Cedric Von Prawn in just a moment. For now, though, let's talk to our buddy John Stinchcomb here on Dog Nation Daily. Boy, it's always a lot of fun for me to get a chance to chat with John here, looking back on kind of what has happened for Georgia and what still needs to happen as it readies itself for the start of the 2019 season. John, hope you had a great weekend. It's great to have you back here today on Dog Nation Daily, and just hope you're doing well.
I'm great because we're one more week closer to watching our dogs finally take the field.
Yeah, no doubt about that. That's a fun thing to be able to think about. And you know, one of the things that helps tide a lot of Georgia fans over on the way towards the start of a season are some big recruiting wins. Georgia got one of those over the weekend. Cedric Von Prawn, very good-looking interior offensive lineman, listed as a center by the major recruiting services. He's out of New Orleans. Georgia wins that commitment, adding him to what is already a very impressive collection of elite offensive line for the class of 2020. And John, as a guy that is both still a student of offensive line play, a fan of the Dogs, and a guy who understands just how important Sam Pittman's offensive line has been to the success that Georgia's enjoyed over the last couple of years, I'm sure you, as much as anybody, love the idea of adding a guy like Cedric Von Prawn into the fold for the Bulldogs.
It's amazing how much talent they're amassing, especially in that offensive line room. I mean, you look at just the past 3 years, the quality of recruits that they've been able to get commitments from and ultimately sign, it's staggering to look at. And with Von Prawn, I mean, if you've seen some of his highlights, he's a guy who's super physical. He loves to finish. And with refinement of technique, I mean, you can see that this guy, he's a mauler. He just likes to gore folks and throw them on the ground and get nasty, which, you know, for Coach Pittman, has got to be the clay that Potter wants to mold, because, I mean, he's quite an addition to already stacked class.
Well, you know, John, one of the things that I said, because I did a little video to comment on Van Prawn when he committed on Saturday night, for me, this is also about the future for Georgia in terms of its attempt to regenerate, which is probably a bigger word than I should be using, but regenerate this great wall offensive line that Sam Pittman's put into place right now. Because, I mean, John, you've been around the game. You understand this, that it's one thing to collect a lot of bodies at one time and let that be the strength of your team. But oftentimes in college football, when some of those guys go away, we see maybe some growing pains and growing pains in terms of replacing them. I'll give you a quick example of this. And listen, I have as much respect for Mark Richt as you do, but think about Richt with his quarterbacks. You had David Green. Then you passed the baton to DJ Shockley. Then after that, in 2006, there was a little bit of a growing pain for a while as Matthew Stafford kind of got up to speed and comfortable being a starter. Sometimes you have those gaps within your team's strengths as older guys leave the program and newer guys come in. But with Georgia recruiting the way it's recruiting for its offensive line in 2020, you start to get the impression that in terms of the total bodies that Georgia can potentially throw at this issue if four guys leave after this season, which they very well could, you know, the idea of Georgia having a gap in offensive line performance, it seems less likely to occur just because of the way that Georgia continues to stack that depth right now. Would you agree with that?
And I think, yes, I would. I think it's one of those positions where you cannot have a lag in a year or two from recruiting. Running backs, wide receivers, there's some positions out on that football field where you can come in out of high school and contribute pretty early. I think it's pretty rare to find an Andrew Thomas, a guy that straight out of high school, no red shirt, can step right in and play at such a high level. And I'm, you know, you're talking about four and five star guys, but still, there's a development piece. I think you saw it with Isaiah Wilson. I mean, he's a highly touted five star offensive tackle, one of the best in the country. And he still needed a year to develop. That's no knock on Isaiah Wilson. He's a supreme talent, but offensive line is one of the positions that usually takes some development, either physical or mental, technique-wise. You can't just plug and play, so to speak. You come in as an athlete, there's still a lot of refinement that's needed. So to see a sustained flow of high-talented guys coming in bodes well for the future. I mean, you're going to lose players each year at various positions, and when you've got the stable of guys behind that are training and preparing for their opportunity, and they're talented, that's a great situation for the future.
So on the field for Georgia on Saturday, I talked a lot last week, and you and I may have even talked about this a week ago when you were on our program, about Georgia needing to get a better play from its so-called starters. Kirby Smart calls them the ones after what was described as a bit of a lackluster effort last Saturday. The indications are, based on Kirby's own description, apparently it did kind of work out that way. Those guys kind of maybe set the tone and brought it a little bit more than they did a week ago. Do you agree with me that that's important? I mean, obviously you want everybody playing well, but in terms of the energy that comes from your camp, the energy that comes from your practices, as we get closer to the season, isn't it important for the nucleus, the older guys, the established starters, the team leaders, to be the ones who are really setting the tone to practice more so than the young, talented guys who are hungry for playing time? Wasn't it about time for Thomas and Fromm and the rest of those guys to be the ones to step up?
Do you want your leaders to lead? Absolutely. I mean, you want them out in the front and getting it. I mean, that's the way it's supposed to be. You're supposed to look to your seniors, your veteran players. Maybe they're younger, but they've got the experience. They're tone setters. And, you know, obviously Kirby understands that you can use the media as a tool to light some fires, because all reports indicate scrimmage number two had a much different tone than scrimmage number one, especially for your starters and your number ones out there.
And I guess to just kind of follow up on this, I wrote this a little bit on Saturday as well, that I'm, as much as anybody, I'm excited about young freshmen. I'm excited about guys that I haven't seen before. Gosh knows, I've talked, you know, thousands and thousands of words on guys like Nolan Smith and George Pickens and Dominic Blaylock and N'Kobe Dean and all those guys. I've talked about them all over the course of the last few weeks. But I believe as we get closer to the start of the season, John, that those guys are a supplement to the championship pursuit of Georgia, whereas the Thomases, the Fromms, the Swifts, the LeCounts, those are the guys that are truly the catalyst for that. Those are the guys that are still likely to be the best players in the Georgia roster. And as excited as I am about the UGA freshmen, they are the sauce that goes on the entree, but the entree are the guys we've been watching for the last couple of years. Would you agree on that point?
No, it's meat and potatoes, buddy. I mean, at the end of the day, as young players, you want them to be able to step in and help situationally and in various roles. If you're counting on them to be main contributors, that probably means that there was what we just discussed, a drop in recruiting, or you had a couple misses for guys that you had projected for roles that didn't hit. And so if you're counting on freshmen and redshirt freshmen to fill out your roster of major contributors, that's not a great situation to be in. And Georgia is not in that situation, especially this year. We have been in years past, where there's drop off, and we didn't have the fill waiting and trained and ready and a part of the program for the past couple years to step up and step in. But that's very much not the case. I hope Nolan Smith and N'Kobe Dean have wonderful, illustrious careers at the University of Georgia starting this year, but I don't want to have to continue or rely on an incoming freshman to be one of your core contributors. They should be situational role players that you say, man, I can't wait to see when he does get the opportunity to be the primary starter, what he's going to look like as a dog. But until that time comes, your Monty Rices, your Tay Crowders, your guys that have been a part of the program that have been in the fire a little bit, they're the ones who are going to carry most of the weight, and then you supplement with your younger players.
A couple things before we let you go here today, John. First of all, as we speak on this Monday, we're only, about a couple hours away, a little less than that now, from the Associated Press poll, the preseason poll coming out today. My guess is Georgia's likely to be number three. I'll be surprised if they're ranked anything else other than three. As a guy that was also a part of this Georgia roster, how much did you back then, you know, I'm assuming you're reading things and paying attention, how aware were you then of what Georgia was ranked and what the preseason expectations were and the chatter that was out there? I'm sure your coaches were working just as hard as these coaches to block that out from the players and too many press clippings, and we all know how that all works out, but some of that's easier said than done. How aware were you of preseason projections for the Dogs back when you played?
Everybody knows exactly where you stand. I mean, whether you agree with it or not, whether you use it as motivation, whether it's bulletin board material and you feel disrespected, you're aware of what the mass media, what the perception on a national scale is about your program. And does it matter at the end of the day? Of course not. And every coach is going to tell you it's the poison cheese for the rats. You know what I mean?
Sure.
You can't buy into it. It doesn't matter at the end of the day. The reason why you play the games is because it what looks to be a clear, decisive advantage for one team on paper. You play those games, and all of a sudden, you end up with an App State going the distance with Michigan. You know?
Yeah.
I mean, there's a reason why you have to play the games, and you hear from every coach across the country to not pay attention to these polls, because when you're in between those lines, it does not matter what you're ranked. It doesn't matter what stars you had. It doesn't matter whether you're the number one ranked team in the country or the number 100th team in the country. You got to play the game, and that's the point that every coach is trying to make, is don't buy into that to a point where you get distracted from being able to perform, because I guarantee you lesser teams have beaten better teams because they didn't respect the opportunity that they have when they blow that whistle and you get 60 minutes to slug it out.
Let me squeeze in one final question before we let you go. This will be kind of an interesting week for Georgia, because presumably, and Kirby Smart did address this some, they'll transition from solely working on themselves, and Kirby's been very clear in the past about how important that is for his football team, to now starting to work on that opponent just 2 weeks away from Vanderbilt. What is it like, John, for the players when it's a little less about the fundamentals, a little less about camp-style practices, and a little more game planning for an actual opponent, in this case, a road game in the SEC? How much does business pick up, to borrow a Jim Ross phrase, how much does business pick up when all of a sudden you get to start thinking about an actual opponent in a different color jersey?
Yeah, it is a welcome transition for every player out there. I mean, you grind through training camp. Training camp is brutal, but it's purposeful. You're developing your skills. You're trying to knock some rust off for some of your veteran players and get ready for the season. But at the end of the day, I mean, you don't want to continue to beat your own team. Your goal is to beat every team you face that doesn't wear the same color as you. So when you transition for that week one, it is very much a welcome to transition where you can start focusing on your other opponent, and it's really I think it kind of re-energizes the team and the guys a little bit. You get through the doldrums of training camp, and it almost feels like Groundhog Day for a little while. So anytime you can transition and shift your focus a little is a good thing.
John, great stuff. It's always a good thing to have you with us here on Dog Nation Daily. We appreciate your insight on UGA, and we'll look forward to hopefully getting a chance to speak to you very soon as well. Have a great week.
You too, BA. Appreciate it.
Good stuff there from John Stinchcomb. And, yeah, you love the idea of being able to transition. Start thinking about another opponent, especially for this one. Georgia, big favorite at Vanderbilt, but it's still a little more high profile than, you know, FCS this or lowly FBS that. This is a real game on the road for Georgia and the SEC, and it's fun to think about the Dogs starting to get ready for it. Let me go back in time just for a moment, because before we brought on John Stinchcomb on today's program, was sharing some audio from Kirby Smart, and I wanted to share another clip, and I want to set it up by saying this. You know, you heard me a moment ago with John say that the Georgia National Championship chase this season, well, no matter where it ends, I believe it's going to be led more so by the veterans than the young guys. At least it needs to be for Georgia to be as good as it can be. However, there is one particular aspect, though, where that might not necessarily exactly be true. An opportunity for young guys to step up and show up, at least in one particular area. You know, Kirby Smart talked a little bit about what he liked about the scrimmage from Saturday, and he used a word that sounds good to me. And in this particular case, this may be a spot where young players are more likely, the most likely maybe, to contribute. Let me let you hear a little more from Kirby Smart.
The guys really pushed hard. They were hurting at the end. There were some really competitive goal line periods. Red area period was competitive, second, 10, third down. Everything was pretty even across the board when we did ones-on-ones. So I thought that was good. We were able to get some of the playmakers the ball on the perimeter and probably made more plays in the passing game than we did on the other one.
I like that word, playmakers. I like the way that sounds coming out of Kirby Smart's mouth. And in the other clip we played a moment ago, he talked about explosive plays. That's what playmakers provide for you, explosive plays. And, you know, we can kind of go down the list in our own predictions. And on this show, a lot of times, especially during our video comment portion, we do a lot of predictions like this. If you're looking for the spot where the young guys, the newcomers to the program, or guys that were here last year but didn't play a ton, if you're looking for the spot they may make the largest impact, it may be right there in that kind of playmaker situation, making those explosive plays. Who were the ones doing that on the scrimmage on Saturday? Well, we're going to be dealing with that topic a lot this week on Dog Nation Daily, I would imagine.
Let's take a look around the rest of the league. This is SEC Through.
Really fun stuff from John Stinchcomb, by the way, as well today on Dog Nation Daily. Love his insight into UGA. Great to have him as part of the program. Hey, before we do the SEC Through, can I please tell you about something really cool that's coming up this Saturday I'm really excited about? I'm going to be at a store called Universities Forever. It's Customer Appreciation Day. It's going to be a great time. Now, I'm not the only one who's going to be there, although I'm excited about it. The UGA Redcoat Alumni Band's going to be there. I love the Redcoats. I love the Alumni Band. Hearing this music just a Saturday before the start of the upcoming season, that's going to be a ton of fun. There's a whole bunch of tailgating gear, sports gear. You can shop for all of that. Frameable prints from a great artist named Scott O'Neill. You can get that. There are going to be food trucks on site. I mentioned the Alumni Band. They also have you seen this, like the Redcoat Band memorabilia apparel? I love the Redcoat logo. It's kind of an old-school, classic-looking thing. They're going to have this on sale at Universities Forever on Saturday. You can have a chance to buy that. I'll be there from 11 to 1 on Saturday at Universities Forever. You can like them on Facebook. You can go to universitiesforever.com to find out more about that. Let me also, for those of you listening radio and podcast, let me give you the address. I want to see you. Come on by and see me. The whole event takes place from 10 to 5 on Saturday. I'll be there from 11 to 1. It's 2080 Ronald Reagan Boulevard in Cumming, Georgia. Once again, 2080 Ronald Reagan Boulevard in Cumming, Georgia. Me there this Saturday, 11 to 1 at Universities Forever as we get ready for the start of the upcoming season. It's going to be a great time. All right, let's do a little SEC through here. The AP poll comes out today, as I said before. We think we know where Georgia's going to be. I am curious to see where some of the other SEC teams fall into this. Presumably Florida makes the top 10. You've heard me say I don't think they finished there. I don't even think they finished ranked, but presumably they will be in there. Could even be a little extra juice for the Gators, just given the fact that there's that week zero game. I think there's an overall feeling around college football that it feels good to have a highly ranked team next Saturday playing Florida-Miami. So I think that helps them a little bit. I'm curious to see where LSU finishes in this. I haven't slowed down my opinion of LSU at all. I believe that LSU is a major threat to Alabama. In fact, I think the Tigers win the West. I'll be curious to see how much AP poll voters agree with that. And then we'll see on down the line just how many of the other SEC teams get respect. Mississippi State, Auburn, I think it'll be very interesting to watch how all of this goes. Also, the coaches poll did not rank Missouri, but the AP poll can rank Missouri, right? I'd be curious to see if Missouri makes the AP poll, despite the fact they're currently facing a postseason ban. As far as being one of the 25 best teams in the country, I think that Missouri's got a pretty, at least a reasonable claim to that. We'll see if the AP poll treats the Como Tigers a little differently than the way the coaches poll did. A couple of other SEC stories to get through. So apparently, and this is a surprise to me, I'm just not in Knoxville every day, so I'm sure it's not a surprise to Vols fans, but I guess there is still some work and effort to be done to get Trey Smith on the field for Tennessee this fall. He has not been dealing with an injury. He's been dealing with like a blood clot issue, like a health situation, and I've told y'all before, despite the fact that Tennessee's a Georgia rival, I am just devastated for a great player like Smith, and he's not a good player when healthy. He's been a great player for that Tennessee offensive line, that he's dealt with what he's dealt with, but obviously he's also incredibly valuable to the program. And so if he is healthy enough to play, that does change the outlook for the Vols a little bit. I don't think it makes them a 9-win team or anything like that, but in terms of getting bowl eligible, winning some games that lost a year ago, if Smith were to play, that would certainly help in that regard. I get the impression it's still a ways to go before any kind of really legitimate determination can be made on this, and it may even be wishful thinking on either Smith's part or the university's part that he might indeed be healthy enough to play. It's a serious health situation that he's dealing with, but according to some of the stuff I read over the weekend, apparently Tennessee's still trying to get that figured out, and they may find a way to get him on the field. Tavian Feaster is a former Clemson running back, now at South Carolina. And Feaster's kind of drawing some praise here from Muschamp and some of the viewers of portions of the South Carolina practice. And I don't have to tell you, those of you who watch SEC football closely, what Feaster could potentially mean. First of all, it's a foreshadowing of maybe what Marshawn Lloyd would potentially be able to do if Lloyd holds on to his South Carolina commitment as part of the class of 2020. But even in the immediate, the weakest point for South Carolina of all has been their ability to run the football. They've actually played well in certain situations, played well on the road, for instance. Muschamp's done a pretty good job of keeping games close on the road, or at least closer than the experts think. But in terms of turning close games into wins, they just don't run the ball well enough to do that. They just have not done that. Feaster, who was talented enough to be on the Clemson roster, kind of changes that a little bit, and or at least potentially does. And so I think the bottom end of the SEC East is a really interesting race because Kentucky thinks they turned a corner last year, but Will Muschamp's trying to prove that he's building something at South Carolina, to say nothing of what Jeremy Pruitt wants to do at Tennessee, and Vanderbilt is a potential fly in the ointment there. If South Carolina were to be able to establish a running game, they would be a much more formidable threat in some of the games they've lost in recent years, or some of the games that they've won, they want to try to maintain streaks in. Feaster's a potential wild card in terms of how the bottom half of the SEC East is going to roll. There were some reports out of Auburn over the weekend that maybe this week Auburn may settle on a starting quarterback. My presumption is there will be no announcement made on this because I'm still of the belief that both Gatewood and Nix will play in the early portion of the season. Do they end up going with Gatewood early because he fits what the Malzahn offense has been a little bit more? There's a chance that's happening. I still think if Malzahn wants to truly save his job and return to the good graces of Auburn fans, that may require him to get something out of the in-state former high school hero Nix there. By the time they play Georgia, I just believe if Nix is not the starting quarterback, then something's gone wrong for Auburn and probably gone wrong in particular for Malzahn. But apparently, at least according to some of the reports, they're getting ready to settle on something, although I'm not quite sure any announcement gets made. Florida-Miami have agreed to a home-and-home. We talked about this on Friday. I think this is also kind of interesting to start looking at as well in terms of, if I've got the years right, it's 2024 and 2025 they are playing. There's been some talk about Georgia around that same time, too, because Georgia's going to Pasadena around that same time. That's also after the most recent contract with Georgia and Florida and Jacksonville will have ended by then. We'll be 3 years removed from the most recent contract. Now, who knows? They may sign another one But if you want to get an idea of what the Georgia-Florida future might look like if the game were not in Jacksonville anymore, then kind of keep your eye a little bit on kind of how Florida schedules some of its road and home games. That may go a little ways in determining, if it were to change, what years Georgia might play in Athens, what years Georgia might potentially play in Gainesville. A lot to be decided before that ever gets changed, but I would invite you to pay close attention to Florida's non-conference scheduling. That may give you an idea of what the new look Georgia-Florida rivalry might look like were it to indeed make a change. We'll make that your SEC through. And, of course, our friends at Kroger invite you to check out the summer vibes that are ongoing there. I know it's like a million degrees. I think we're going to have 95 degrees again. Was that like almost 4 or 5 days in a row of 95 degree temperatures? That means you got to have the pool party, you got to have the back deck stuff, you got to find some way to keep cold, or keep cool. Well, Kroger's taking care of you in all of that. Enjoying the end of summer in style with my friends at Kroger. Make sure you check that out by stopping by your local Kroger here today. All right, I want to talk some more just for a moment about Cedric Von Prahm, the four-star offensive lineman that committed to Georgia over the weekend. It was late on a Saturday night. If you went to bed early, you may have missed what has now become the customary punctuation mark on a big recruiting win for UG along the offensive line. A little bit of a Louisiana jazz, Dixieland jazz-themed version of a Sam Pittman. Yes, sir. Here's what it sounded like.
Dog Nation. Let the good times roll. Go Dawgs! Yes, sir!
I do love the way that Pittman's kind of themed these out for each of his individual offensive linemen. We had the Old Town Road for the Texan, Chad Lindbergh, the other day. A little bit of, almost sounds like Sidney Bechet to me coming from the speakers there. Can't quite tell if that's the jazz legend or not, but certainly New Orleans theme for Cedric Von Prahm, which is kind of a good thing. I also like some of the reactions we got from UGA commits to this on Twitter. Kendall Milton probably summed it up about as well as anybody does. When you see Van Prahm to go along with Lindbergh and Ratledge and Braun, who mauled somebody over the weekend, Kendall says, man, our line is going to be crazy. And, yeah, I think that Kendall sums that all up pretty well by saying that on Twitter. And I also like what Mekhi Sherman, one of the leaders for Georgia's 2020 class on the other side of the ball, had to say. Because, remember, these guys battle each other during practice. Front seven going up against the big offensive line. That's been one of the important storylines for Georgia thus far during these particular practices. Guys trying to get around Andrew Thomas, Isaiah Wilson, and the rest. Well, Sherman, who knows he's going to be battling him on the field pretty soon, says, he goes, I'm definitely going to get better at UGA thanks to Coach Sam Pittman bringing in these good offensive linemen. So nice to see Georgia get a big commit over the weekend, and nice to see some of the other UGA commits. So happy to see that as well. It certainly seems this 2020 class is a nice kind of family vibe with each other. You know, when I think about that, the gold standard for me is always the 2017 class, how close and united they seem to be. This 2020 class kind of has a little bit of the same look, which is kind of a cool thing to think about. So it was a great weekend for former co-hosts of our Dog Nation postgame show. Did y'all check this out? Our buddy Cameron Nislick, and I'm so proud of him because I know how hard he's worked for this, was picked up by the Baltimore Ravens. He is now on the Ravens roster. It's been a long road for him. He's shown determination throughout, and good to see him finding a home in the NFL with the Baltimore Ravens. So good luck to Cam. Also, do you remember we had Natrez Patrick with us for our G-Day postgame show back in April? I think the Natrez got a future in broadcasting, but that future might be put on hold because he is tearing it up for the Rams right now in preseason play. So good stuff to see from him on that. And I guess I got to find myself a new co-host for the postgame show. Nonetheless, Gatorator Updater, how about 1,024 days? We'll see you back here tomorrow for Dog Nation Daily.